A slender, attractive woman in a white toga with a blue cloth draped across her waist holds a shining torch aloft atop steps before rolling clouds. Columbia, a Sony Pictures Entertainment company. Mirrored squares bearing the initials BBC tumble into place against a bright light shining through water. BBC Films. Columbia Pictures and BBC Films present in association with Screen Yorkshire. A Left Bank Pictures production. July 1974. The legend Leeds United in glam rock style letters. Grainy footage of matches from the time. Rough tackles.
This is what's wrong with the play. By Ray Hunter. There was sheer bedlam. Oh dear. And now more trouble off the ball. And this match has been riddled with free kicks from the start. Leeds have got what they've deserved.
Caption: Leeds United is the dominant force in British football. England failed to qualify for the World Cup. The manager of England is the most coveted job in the country.
What sort of manager is the FA now looking for?
I presume a young with perhaps new ideas and a track-suited manager.
There's only one obvious choice. The damned United. Rain soaks the muddy pitch in the empty Leeds United Stadium. Photographers' flashes light up the boardroom windows. Burly middle-aged Don Revy makes his way from the boardroom to a press conference flanked by members of the Leeds board.
I'm just going to make a brief statement. Yesterday afternoon at 3 o'clock, I accepted the FA's offer to become the next manager of the England national football team. Now, obviously, this involves me leaving Leeds United after 13 happy and successful years, which makes me very sad. I'd like to think I put the club into a family, and there must be sadness when anyone leaves a family. However, when one man leaves, another steps into his place. I know who I think that person should be, the man to replace me, and I've made my feelings clear to the board of directors. Thank you. No further comment.
Don goes with a nonchalant wave. Gaunt, grey-haired Manny Cousins, director of the board, brings his hand to his mouth as he sits uneasily before the press. A gloomy day. A Ford Zodiac makes its way along a moorland road.
What's new, pussycats? Whoa, whoa, whoa!
Two boys in the back stare out through the rain-soaked windows as the handsome driver, Brian Clough, sings along to the radio.
Pussycat, you're so thrilling and I'm so willing to care for you. So go and make up your big little pussycat eyes.
Any moment now, on the right.
I love you, yes, I do.
They drive straight past the Leeds United Stadium.
Where are you going?
Don't. You missed it.
There's something else to do first. Won't take long.
In the Yorkshire Television Studios.
Today we welcome Brian Clough, who starts his new job as manager of Leeds United, taking over from Don Revy, the most successful manager in the club's history, under whom Leeds won everything.
Not quite everything. I won the European Cup.
Oh, but pretty much everything else. Daunted?
Daunted, not at all, Austin. Looking forward to it.
The biggest challenge of your life, and you'll be without Peter Taylor for the first time, a lifelong professional colleague.
Yes, Pete's at Brighton now. He had the opportunity to come with me, but Brighton was his choice. Leeds was mine.
Well, a surprising choice, some might say, because you've been very vocal in your criticism of them over the years.
I have.
We've accused the players of dirty tactics, cheating, dissent, foul play. You've called Norman Hunter, Norman bites your legs Hunter. You've said Peter Lorimer falls when no one touches him.
And I was right.
But I'm curious, why do you now show such alacrity to joining them after such vituperative criticism of them for so long?
Goodness me, it'll take me half an hour to explain all those words for a start. Football is a beautiful game, Austin. It needs to be played beautifully. I think Leeds have sold themselves short. They've been champions champions, but they've not been good champions in the sense of wearing the crown well. They've not been loved. But then, you know, that's hardly surprising given the type of operation that's been in place there. Well,
that type of operation, I presume you're referring to Bonrevie.
Who has long been regarded as a father figure in Leeds. And now you're coming in as the outsider, or the enemy even, after all the things that you've said in public, coming in and taking over as a stepfather.
Don't you expect some degree of resentment to this?
I would accept and expect a strangeness initially. Perfectly normal. But it won't be long before they realise I'm a fair man, kind man, I'm a warm man, and maybe under me they can experience what it's like to be in a happy family after all.
How can you be sure they weren't happy with Don all along?
They wouldn't have played football that way if they were happy.
Brian smirks a wry, lopsided smile. Watching at home, a livid Don storms to the phone and dials. Back at the Elland Road Stadium, a group of boys scamper after Brian's Zodiac as it swings into the car park below the Leeds United AFC sign. A gaggle of reporters flock around the car as craggy-faced Jimmy Gordon opens the driver's door.
Where have you been, boss? The director's been waiting for over an hour.
Brian and Sons get out.
It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm looking forward to a very good, long-lasting relationship with Leeds United. There you go, young man.
Thanks very much.
Will Peter Taylor be joining you?
To his boys.
Wait there a sec.
To the team.
We're here, isn't it?
Morning, lads.
He waves up at the footballers on the training field.
Lovely Yorkshire weather. I tell you, it makes me want to jump on a plane right back to Mallorca.
They scowl down at him through the chain-link fence. Brian turns back to the press.
Right, thank you very much, gentlemen. I believe there's some very important people waiting for me. Can't keep them waiting.
Not much of a welcome, is it? Not so much as a smile from Johnny Jones.
You're 5 days late. And did you really have to say that about Mallorca?
You know, he was Revy's first choice for getting your job.
Who, Johnny Giles?
Aye.
Was he now? From Bremner?
Club captain. Don's son and heir. You'll never get any love out of him.
Great.
Come on, boys.
Here's to happy fucking families. This should be just around here. Ah, right. I want you two to be here for your elderly Uncle Jimmy, all right? See you
Come in, Brian.
Brian struts into the boardroom, shakes Cousin's hand and sits at the end of the long board table.
What? No one gonna offer me a drink? Like an undertaker's in here.
Why did you do it?
Do what?
The interview for Yorkshire Television.
You've had a phone call.
Not so much a phone call, what a bloody tirade.
From Don. He quoted some of the things you said.
How unhappy the players were under him. What bad champions. Looking for a response.
Bloody got one as well. He's gone berserk.
He had it coming. He shouldn't have done that piece in the Mirror about me. And he thought I was a daft choice.
He's entitled to his opinions.
I'm entitled to mine.
And I'm entitled to mine.
I hired you to do this job because I think you're the best young manager in this country.
Thank you. I'm the best old one too.
I also did it under the assumption that you would be coming here wanting the best for this club. The city of Leeds. So why do I get the feeling this is all about you and Don?
Of course, it's just about me and Don. Always has been. But instead of putting frowns on your foreheads or your elders of Leeds and your blazers and your brass fucking buttons, it should put big white Colgate smiles on your big white faces because it means I won't eat and won't sleep until I've taken whatever that man's achieved and beaten it. Beaten it so I never have to hear the name Don fucking Revy again. Beat it. The only name anyone sings in the Yorkshire alehouses, raising the stinking jaws to the stinking mouths, is Brian Clough. Brian Clough, Uber fucking Alice.
His broad grin sets hard as the board glare at him.
Understand?
He beams his toothy grin. 6 years earlier, the figures 1974 tick back to 1968 as the teams of Division 1, topped by Leeds, scroll down to Derby County in Division 2. Derby County, manager Brian Clough, assistant Peter Taylor. Derby County are struggling at the bottom of the second division and are in the third round of the FA Cup. The draw.
Number 25.
Manchester United.
Number 41.
We'll play Tottenham Hotspur.
Number 22.
Come on, Pete.
Derby County.
Derby County, second division.
Here we go, that's us.
We'll play
number 6.
Leeds United.
Against the...
Leeds!
Leeds! Blood hell!
Don Revy's Leeds! Don Revy's
Leeds! You can't believe it!
Top of Division 1! Here we come!
Brian picks up the phone.
What do you say to that, Mr. Chairman?
I can hear the cash registers now.
Happy days!
Sir, happy days!
You're not wrong, Brian. Take your family out
for a meal. Go to the mum, Taz. Tell him it's on me.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Hey, put the fish and chips in the bin. Tonight's on Uncle Sam. We're going posh. Chicken Boona in town! Yeah! Yeah! Right, come on, Simon. Get your gloves, Simon. Get your gloves on. Please, get lighted.
Outside Derby County's rundown stadium, the baseball ground.
Right, you two. I want Billy Bremner and Johnny Giles to be able to read that. Come on.
The elderly groundskeepers eye the letters missing from the club sign. Brian points at the visitors' entrance.
And this door has got to be fit for Donald Revy to walk through.
He marches in through the tatty door.
Well, chop, chop.
Brian dashes down corridors to smoking cleaners.
Ah, there you are, right, ladies. Spick and span. Remember, wash these walls down, give the floors a proper polish. I'll be back. Come on, off you go.
On the pitch.
I want it perfect. Like a fucking carpet. Ah, we've got proper footballers coming. We know how to keep the ball on the deck.
So you can't fucking train on it then.
The groundsman trudges along, marking white lines. Grubby kids gaze over the training ground from streets of terraced houses. Brian stands beside tubby Peter Taylor watching the team play.
You know he'll be making a file on us. A dossier.
Who?
Don Revy. Prepares a file on every game. Leaves nothing to chance. Knows every opponent's formations, strategies, everything.
I've heard he's a superstitious twat.
We grew up just a few streets apart, you know, in Middlesbrough, close to Ayrton Park. He'll have known my street, Valley Road. Probably bought sweets from Garnet's factory where my dad worked.
Heard he wears the same suit to every game. His lucky blue suit.
Best manager in the country, Don Revy. Played for Sunderland, like me. A centre-forward, like me, and England. Like me.
Give it and go!
He's in a pod, me and Don.
Brian volleys a goal.
Two peas in a bloody pod. Right, you saw that? That's the way you do it!
In his trademark red tracksuit, Brian sweeps the dingy corridors by the Derby dressing rooms under flickering strip lights. He polishes the brass plaque on the visitor's door. He steps back to admire the now untarnished sign. In the shower room, Brian stands in the chest-high plunge bath, scrubbing the white tiles with a coarse brush. Now he lays an orange on each of the neatly folded towels on the benches. Next, he lays a heavy glass ashtray beside each of the towels, then strolls out. Brian eyes himself gravely as he smooths his hair in his office mirror. He smooths his tie and carefully takes two crystal glasses from his case as Peter looks on. Brian sets them down side by side, then unwraps a bottle of red wine. Blowing dust off, he reverentially positions the bottle to the right of the glasses, then turns the label to face Peter by the door.
They're here.
Jimmy ducks in.
Almost.
Brian pulls his suit jacket on as he and Peter follow Jimmy out of the wood-panelled office. They hurry out of a side door in the side of the rusty corrugated iron stand and over to the entrance gate.
I want Billy to sign my autograph.
A coach has stopped down the street of terraced houses.
What are they doing?
Running out of petrol, boss.
No. It's that superstition, isn't it? Every away cup tie, Revy makes him walk the last 100 yards. Soppy twat.
Brian smooths his quiffed dark hair and straightens his tailored suit jacket as he stands with Peter and Jimmy in the entrance gateway. Down the street, kids flock around Don and his team as they step from the coach and stroll towards the ground in their smart suits, signing autographs. Press photographer snaps photos as the players approach.
Oh,
Brian steps forward to greet them.
Welcome to Derby, Doc. Pleasure to meet you. I'm Brian Clough.
Hello.
Don sweeps past amid his entourage, leaving Brian standing to one side at the entrance. Still seething, Brian watches the teams run out.
It's the third round of the FA Cup. It's Derby County against Leeds United at the baseball ground. Derby County in the white shirt, very much the underdogs, as they face the First Division champions, playing today in their away strip of dark blue shirts and yellow shorts.
Brian eyes Don in the visitors' dugout.
Giles, dispossessed by Hector. Well, the atmosphere is absolutely electric, and the pitch as ever at Derby, in poor condition and heavily sanded. Giles, well, that's a strong challenge on McFarland. There have been question marks about some of these Leeds players. Intimidating referee.
Peter yells beside a glowering Brian as the Leeds players surround the ref. The physio carries McFarland off piggyback. Brian grimaces introspectively.
Leeds with the free kick. Delivered deep. Oh, here's Clark. He's unmarked to the back post. Oh! Leeds lead by 1-0. Giles with the corner. Bremner. Bremner's gone down. There didn't appear to be any contact. The referee has given a spot kick.
Brian sneers at Don.
And that penalty spot is lost somewhere in the middle of a desperate patch of mud. It's 2-0! Leeds have won it now! Don Rennie sending a clear message to his rivals. Leeds are still very much the team to beat. Derby totally outclassed. And for Brian Clough and Peter Taylor, it's been a sobering afternoon.
Derby 0, Leeds 2. The wine stands untouched.
Didn't say goodbye. Or pay me the respect of staying for a drink. Couldn't wait to get away.
With the cheats and all, neither of those goals should have been allowed.
Just gonna have to beat him, Pete. Beat him if it's the last thing I do.
Brian gazes out at Don, ushering his players onto their coach, patting their backs for the press.
We need to get up into the same division first.
Brian nods ruefully.
We need someone with a good head. Experience.
I know. Our lot were like headless chickens out there today.
First thing Monday morning, I want you to go and find me that player. A wise head.
But we haven't got...
And don't worry about the money. That's my problem. Just you go and find him.
Brian jabs a finger at Peter. The Clough family sit at a dining table in a semi-detached house in the rolling Derbyshire countryside.
Simon's eating up his mashed potato, aren't you, Simon?
Not loud enough, please.
Good. But it might be Pete.
Of course it's Pete.
Yeah, of course it's Pete.
Don't be cheeky, Nigel.
But it might be important. Come on, eat your carrots up for your mother.
Hello? You asked me to find a player with a good head, experience. Well, I found one. He's perfect. Dave Mackay.
Dave Mackay? He's 150.
I admit he's not young.
Not young. He's old as bloody time.
Oh, he's clever, Brian. Keeps the ball well, passes it better than anyone alive.
Pete, that's enough. Come back.
Peter glances at his wife.
He's the one, Brian.
You sure?
Never been more sure of anything in my life.
All right, I'll talk to Longson in the morning.
I've got till morning. Hearts have already made him an offer, and he was their manager. Apparently, terms have been agreed.
What did you bloody call me for, then?
Because when I asked Bill Nick how done the deal was, he said 99%.
Meaning he hasn't signed.
Exactly.
Brian smirks.
Right, Brian, that's enough. Come and sit down. Your dinner's getting cold.
Barbara Clough gets up from the dining table and wanders into the hall to find it empty.
Brian? Love?
Brian speeds away from Peter's house. Peter feeds Brian crisps as Brian drives.
Come on. Open. There you go.
So where will we play him, then? Well, somewhere he can see everything. Use his loaf and tell the kids what to do.
Well, play him a sweeper, then.
Aye, aye. Don't have to run about so much, then, will he?
Fat bastard.
Brian swigs a can of lager.
Well, what's all this I hear about a tie shop?
Yeah, he's got a tie shop, hasn't he, in London, which he spends 2 days a week at.
Fucking tie shop?
Yeah. It's his little nest egg for the future.
No one will be wearing fucking ties in 20 years' time.
Oh!
Hey, I hope his footballing brain is better than his business brain. Hey! Yeah, come on, get it down, you're open.
Brian's gold Mercedes passes a sign. M1 South, 2 miles, London 98. They pull up in a suburban street.
You know it's illegal, sign someone on the Sabbath.
Is it? Perhaps you should just shake on it today and sign for it tomorrow.
What, and let hearts in again in the morning?
Fuck off.
I'm not leaving here without a signature. Now, you'd bloody do that too, wouldn't you? Come all this way just to shake hands? Dear, oh dear. What would you do without me?
Hey! You wouldn't have found him if it weren't for me.
Good job of both wearing ties.
Brian and Peter swap grins as thick-set Dave Mackay opens his front door.
Jehovah's Witness, Dave! May the Lord be with you.
Who the bloody hell are you?
My name's Brian Clough, and I had the pleasure of playing for England against you in an under-23 match.
I remember you now. You had a black eye, a right bloody shiner. You never stop fucking talking. What are you doing here?
Come to talk to you about the promised land, Dave. Land of milk and honey. A little place up the M1 called Derby. May we come in?
Dave regards them. Aye. Derby players head a ball, then run up and down the stands. Sam Longson joins Brian on the terraces.
Dave Mackay.
You don't sound happy, Uncle Sam.
I'm not. What were you thinking going over my head like that? Why didn't you call?
Because you'd have said no.
Bloody right I'd have said no. The man's bloody crock.
He reckons he's good for 3 more years.
Is he? Fuck. He's broken more bones than Evel the Knievel.
Trust me, Mr. Chairman. Money well spent.
Who the fuck are they?
That'd be Messrs. McGovern and O'Hare.
Oh. Where'd they come from?
The old stomping grounds, Hartlepool's and Sunderland. Very reasonable, too. Just doing what's best for the club.
That'll be my club, Brian. My club.
Fire the sides! OK, go on, come on, move!
Press shots in team kit.
Hey, all right, fellas. Give them a smile. Pretend you're happy to be here in Derby. If you lot don't perform for us, I'll feed you to these guys, all right?
Who's got the prettiest face here, eh?
One in the middle.
I think it's Dave Mackay, isn't it?
I'm not answering that question.
That's nice football, lad. Well done. Now you're thinking about it.
Dave on the training field.
You're a genius, Pete. Bloody genius. How did you see it?
I know, it's just obvious. McGovern in midfield, Mackay at the back, O'Hare up front. It's the skewer, isn't it? In the shish kebab.
Beautiful. Thing of fucking beauty! Hey, come on, that's the way!
Grainy black and white match footage.
Dave Mackay. Out to McGovern. Oh, he hit it just right. O'Hare! And it's there!
Derby climb the table.
Derby back to McGovern. McGovern's a shot.
Brian and Jimmy applaud.
And it's a goal!
O'Hare and Hector are in the penalty area. O'Hare!
Beautiful! It was all so easy!
Top of the table.
That's it! Derby win the second division!
Champagne in the dressing room.
It's a magnificent achievement for Brian Clough's team!
Go on, Brian. Fill it up, fill it up.
A party in the boardroom. Having emptied a bottle of champagne into the silver cup, Brian pours it into the players' glasses. Peter smokes a cigarillo as he embraces Brian and they dance together while their wives and the team look on. Dave rushes forward to turn up the sound on Don accepting a trophy on TV.
If Leeds to win the First Division title and Peter to be named English Manager of the Year really is a dream come true. I've a lot of people to thank. I've had a lot of support all year.
You enjoy it, Don. Go home, put your feet up and enjoy it. There's a good lad, because we'll be in the First Division next season. And we're going to have you! Yeah!
1969 ticks forward to 1974, Leeds. Brian Clough's first day at work. The Leeds players in tracksuits on the training ground near the stadium. Brian's sons, Nigel and Simon, scribble on pads of paper at Brian's desk as Brian eyes the players from his office doorway. Brian looks apprehensive as he watches the team warm up.
Right. Better go and make myself known.
Brian keeps his wary eye fixed on the players.
Behave yourselves.
Right. See you, lads.
See ya.
Jimmy and Brian stroll towards the team milling about on the training pitch.
All right, gentlemen, gather around, please.
The Leeds players, in purple team tracksuits with their surnames on their backs, form a semicircle facing Brian, with stout red-haired Bremner, who dived for the penalty in the Derby Cup clash, beside lanky Giles.
Well, I might as well tell you now. You lot may all be internationals and have won all the domestic honours there are to win under Don Revy. As far as I'm concerned, the first thing you can do for me is to chuck all your medals and all your caps and all your pots and all your pans into the biggest fucking dustbin you can find, because you've never won any of them fairly. You've done it all by bloody cheating.
The players swap disgruntled looks.
Mr. William Bremner, you're the captain, and a good one. You're no good to the team, and you're no good to me if you're suspended. I want you fit for every game. I want good, clean, attractive football from my captain, starting next week at the Charity Shield. You, Irishman, God gave you skill, intelligence, and the best passing ability in the game. What God did not give you was six studs to wrap around another player's knee. Now, things are going to be a little different around here without Don. Might feel a little strange at first, might pinch a little, like a new pair of shoes. But if you want your grandchildren to remember you as being something other than the dirty buggers you once were, if you want to be loved as real champions, worthy champions, you're going to have to work and improve and change. Now, let's start off by playing some seven-a-sides.
Mr. Revy never made us do that.
Brian rounds on Bremner.
Well, I'm not Mr. Revy. From now on, I don't want to hear that name again, ever. Next player who mentions it, or what he did or didn't bloody do in the good old days, will spend a week cleaning my boots.
Brian nods emphatically.
Seven asides. Keep it nice and clean. Hey, sensible, no 50-50s. Right, I'll play myself. You might learn something, Irishman. 251 goals in 274 starts.
Jimmy tosses a ball at Brian, who keeps it up with his feet and head, then turns for goal. He volleys it in.
I'd like to see Dom fucking Revy do that, hey.
First seven over here. Come on.
There you go.
Come on, pal.
That's right. Yes, Irishman, I'll have it here. I'll have it here.
Yep.
Nothing on, nothing on.
Brian plays with the team.
Right. Good lad. Come on.
Hard. Yeah.
Billy will have it. Billy will have it.
Come on, Billy.
Yes. Give it to Billy. Yes, yeah. Come on, Billy. I'm free.
Here. Come on.
Billy,
lad. Close him down. Close him down.
Come on.
To me.
Giles floors Brian.
Hey, 50-50, Norman. You're deaf or what?
Jesus.
What's the matter with you? He said no 50-50s.
What are you going to do about it? Right, book me?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Down,
yeah.
Down,
down, down. Bunch of fucking bullies.
Fair challenge, Norm. Fair play.
Jimmy helps Brian up.
Come on, 1-2, pass him.
Bremner leers, laughing.
251 goals in 274 starts.
Brian listens outside the dressing room.
You should have stayed with Peter Taylor. I bet he's the one with all the talent anyway. I'll tell you, he's no Don Revy.
1974 ticks back to 1969. Newly promoted, Derby County are now in the First Division and on equal terms with Leeds United. Brian sits beside Peter on the team bus as it pulls into the Elland Road car park.
Best team in the country, Leeds. Best players, best stadium, best backroom staff. Best everything, really.
With his team in their dressing room...
Right! Last time, there was a whole division between you and Leeds. Not now. Not today. Today, we're here as second division champions and equals with Leeds. John McGovern and Billy Bremner, equals. Kevin Hector and Johnny Giles.
Equals.
Good lad, equals. Alan Hinton and Peter Lorimer.
Equals.
Equals. John O'Hare and Paul Madeley.
Equals.
Now, come on, chins up, chests out. We can take this lot! Come on!
Brian and Peter embrace as they follow the teams up the tunnel. Leeds 5, Derby 0. Don is interviewed on TV.
Well, obviously, it's a terrific achievement for Derby, being promoted to the First Division. But the truth is, Leeds United have the unfortunate habit of reminding them just how far they still have to go.
They made us look like fools today.
Brian and Peter watch.
What was O'Hare doing? And Maidley bullying him like that, pushing him around. Maidley's half his bloody size. O'Hare needs to toughen up. He's from the Scottish Dockyards, isn't he? What about McGovern? He was useless in the middle. Whose idea was that?
Yours.
Good lad. He was all over the place. Like the wandering Jew. Give him the ball to anyone but his own. We need a ball player. Natural in midfield who can hold on to it, keep possession. Giving it away too easily.
Someone like Colin Todd.
Oh, now you're talking. Lovely pair of feet.
I've heard he wants out of Sunderland too. They're all jumping ship up there.
Go on, sign him then.
What? We can't. Thompson's already told us. Club's in debt.
But he said, are the other moments? They played some football. They were brief moments, perhaps, but they did play some football at times. But when you come up...
Oh, bollocks to that! I didn't get us all the way to the First Division so we could sit there mid-table and be cannon fodder for sides like Leeds. Sign the man.
Hang on.
I'll handle bloody Longson.
In training...
Ah, you are a disgrace! For missing the target from there, you want bloody shooting! Now get in there! That's what I pay you for!
Longson.
170 grand for Colin fucking Todd.
Correction, the almighty Colin Todd, the best technical footballer in the country.
And a salary of 300 quid a week. Out, you can't boss. Pay a footballer that.
That's the way things are going, Uncle Sam. Football's all about money now.
I told you, never to go over my head again.
I've no choice. Windows opened up. You were in the bloody West Indies.
Windows? You mean there are others?
Messrs Gemma and Hennessy.
Oh. Sake.
Let me ask you a question, Uncle Sam. What did you come into football for?
Support the football club of my hometown. The club I've supported all my life.
Well, I'm sure we all admire your loyalty.
What I didn't come into it for is to be lectured by some cocky little twat from the North East.
But the way I see it, there's no point being in this game unless you want to beat the best and be the best. And that's all the people at Derby want. And if you really have their interest at heart, not just impressing your friends in the director's box, I suggest you keep your eyes on your road haulage business. Keep your opinions to yourself. Start signing some fucking checks. As a good lad, leave the running of this football club to the professionals.
Professionals don't run the football club, Brian. The chairman does. And if it's true the football's all about money, that's the way it's going, well, that suits us chairman just fucking fine. Because we're the ones who've got it.
Come on! To feet! That's it, lad!
Brian and Peter watch Don and the Leeds team get off their bus.
What was it last time? 5-0.
Maybe we'll hit double figures this time, Billy.
I'm taking the first penalty.
This will be a smashing grab,
yeah? See, they've driven all the way into the car park this time.
Isn't a cup game, is it? Tosser.
Peter marches into the Derby home dressing room.
Hey, socks up. Come on. All right. It's coming.
The Derby players tuck the white shirts of their home kit into their shorts and sit on benches as Brian strolls in. Brian stands at one end of the dressing room with his arms folded, casting an eye over the players sat on benches lining the walls. He strolls to the far end of the dressing room and kneels before a heavy-featured, sandy-haired lad, looking him in the eye.
Know what your job is today?
Yes, boss. Stay in possession. The sheep. Stop being the wandering Jew.
Good lad. Enjoy it. You deserve to. You've worked hard this week.
The young man smiles bashfully and hangs his head as Brian rises to his feet and looks around the other players. His eyes meet Dave Mackay's, and they exchange a respectful, knowing nod. Straightening his tie as he turns and walks across the dressing room, Brian sits beside a dark-haired, fresh-faced guy who's rubbing his thighs in agitation. Brian apes a scared face, then beams at the rest of the team.
Clear what you're doing today?
You big, you strong. Any chance I get, flat and pull fucking Maidley.
Good lad. He bullies you. You bully him back.
Brian nudges his shoulder against the young players.
Near post for those corners we worked on.
Yes, boss.
Brian stands before the team.
Now.
A smile spreads across his face as he looks around the players.
Come on! Come on!
The Derby players leap to their feet and roar red-faced as they run out of the dressing room, down the gloomy corridor and up the tunnel into the daylight on the pitch. As play gets underway, the Leeds players, in their away kit of blue shirts and yellow shorts, pass the ball wide. In his dingy office, Brian smokes as he watches the clock. Sunlight streams in from the terraces through the narrow windows set high in the stark walls. The clock shows 4:05. Pacing now with his hands clasped together behind his head, a cigarette dangling between his lips, Brian looks alternately at his office floor, then at the clock. He looks up, awestruck as silhouettes of fans leaping to their feet in celebration crowd the frosted windows. The clock ticks 4:30. Brian sits with his head in his hands. He stands and once more peers up at the figures of the cheering Derby fans. He bows his head against the wall, then paces in the light streaming through the windows, his hands on his head. Brian puts on his jacket, straightens his tie, and steps into the corridor. Outside his office door, he smooths both hands over his hair, then strides off down the gloomy brick-walled passage. He stops in his tracks as he sees Jimmy and Peter turn the corner ahead. Jimmy strolls off, leaving Peter frowning at Brian. Peter's face softens into a grin. Beaming, Brian runs and embraces him.
Clever bastard!
You should have seen them hairs first. Turned Bremner inside out, it were beautiful. I tell you what, Brian, if we can beat this lot, we can go all the way, mate.
The team cheer in the dressing room. A telex machine. Arsenal 1, Derby County 2. Match footage. Brian in TV interview.
How would you define your approach to management, apart from being brilliant?
Good lad.
You're in the middle. Oh,
yeah. How do you react when someone says, boss, you're doing it wrong?
Well, I ask him how he thinks it ought to be done, and then we get down to it and we talk about it for 20 minutes, and then we decide that I was right.
Parkinson grins. Derby climb the table to the top.
With that, Derby County are the champions of England. It's an extraordinary story.
In interview again.
I wouldn't say I was the best manager in the country. But I'm in the top one.
Crowds welcome the Derby team bus back with the cup. Muhammad Ali on TV.
Some fella in London, England, named some Brian Croft. I heard all the way in America that this fella talks too much. They say he's another Muhammad Ali. There's just one Muhammad Ali. Now, Croft, I've had enough. Stop it.
Are you going to stop it?
No, I'm going to fight him.
The clock ticks forward from 1969 to 1974. Crowds flock down the mile to Wembley for the Charity Shield, Brian Clough's first competitive match as manager of Leeds. Colour TV footage from the time.
The Twin Towers of Wembley Stadium, the cathedral of English football. Good afternoon, everyone. It's the Charity Shield, the opening Saturday of the 1974 season, and our first chance to get a look at Leeds under their new manager, Brian Clough.
Will you be supporting Leeds today, Doc?
Well, Dave, you'll expect nothing less. I've been the manager for 13 years, but the fact is I'm here today as England manager.
Have you any words of advice for your successor, Brian Clough, before his first game?
Win. The people of Leeds are used to winning.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Doc.
Jimmy follows Brian into the Leeds dressing room. Brian takes a note from his blazer pocket.
Right. Gentlemen, thank you!
The team turn grudgingly.
Team today is Harvey in goal, Greeny, Cherry, Bremner.
My captain.
McQueen, Hunter, Lorimer, Clark, Gordon, Giles and Gray. Obviously, all eyes will be on us to see how things have changed without Don. What might be different under me? Let's show them some of the things we've been working on. Our changes in attitude, too. A new outlook, new discipline, new approach. Let's see some of you playing with a smile, eh?
He grins and winks. Bremner shoots a dour glance at Giles. The teams come out.
right, the man who takes over from Don Revie, Brian Clough, who has one championship to his credit with Derby County. Brian Clough, starting, I suppose, at the top.
Bremner scratches his balls as he eyes Brian contemptuously, standing beside the team lined up for the national anthem. Don sings in the stands. On the pitch, Brian remains tight-lipped. Brian smirks wryly as he locks looks with Don, who looks away imperiously. Bremner salutes Don in the stands, who smiles back and touches his nose smugly. The Leeds team jig in a circle on the spot with their right arms raised to the fans. Liverpool on the edge of the Leeds area.
Oh, beautifully played, Keegan. He's got to hit it now. There's a chance on here, and it's blocked. Portsmouth shot.
Off the ball, Giles punches Keegan to the floor.
That looked very much like a right hook by Johnny Giles.
Oh, that was shocking. Keegan has been poleaxed, and it was a right hook. That's a terrible foul.
Following that, a minute afterwards, watch as Bremner appears to pat him with his left hand, that right hand in the kidneys, and then down on the floor for no reason whatsoever, and Keegan's going to get his little bit of revenge there with a right cross.
Brian shuts his eyes.
And Kevin Keegan having words with the referee. It rather looks as though the referee has taken stronger action this time.
Bremner is off, and he's absolutely livid about it.
Commentators watch as Brian mutters furiously.
They're both throwing their shirts down, and really this is a side of English football, a face of English football we do not want to see. To dismiss the referee's authority in such a manner cannot be good for the game.
Emlyn Hughes lifts the shield.
So the cup winners beat the league champions.
Brian's patted consolingly on the shoulder. At an FA tribunal...
William Bremner, your conduct in the Charity Shield match was deplorable and cannot be tolerated. We understand Leeds United are taking disciplinary action against you internally. However, the Football Association has to be seen to make an example. We have therefore decided to impose a fine of £500.
Thank you.
And a suspension until September the 30th.
What? September 30th? That's over a month. That's 6 bloody weeks.
I'll make it 7 if you carry on with language like that.
Come on! Double the fine, treble it, anything. Just don't suspend him for that long.
Gentlemen.
The row of grey-haired men in blazers rise.
He's my captain. Hey, he's the best player I've got.
Bremner trudges out after the officials, leaving Brian sitting alone, brooding. Brian's on the phone in his hotel suite.
I suppose you've heard.
Peter listens.
Suspended for 11 bloody games.
Well, you're buggered. Billy Bremner's the heart and soul of that team.
Plus Mick Jones and Eddie Gray are injured.
Brian swigs booze.
Like I said, you're buggered.
I do, Pete.
And he new players. Tell me who to buy.
No, Brian.
No one scouts players like you, Pete. You're the best. We can sort this place out together. You and me, eh? Turn it around.
It's too late, Brian. I've helped you once, not now. Not after what was said. On our own now, remember? Each man for himself. And I think it'd be better if you don't ring here again.
Peter's eyes rove in anguish as his brows knit in a frown. He hangs up. Brian is left hunched over on his hotel bed, head in hand. 1974 ticks back 1 year.
These are heady days for Brian Clough's Derby County. Champions of England, of course, they have the biggest night in the club's history coming up in Turin in only 4 days' time. The semi-final of the European Cup against Juventus. But first today, they've got quite a tricky challenge. They face Leeds United, whom they unseated as the First Division champions at the end of last season. Leeds, one would imagine, will have revenge on their mind.
Get me today's team sheet, could you, Joe?
There's always been a strong, some might say, unhealthy rivalry between the two teams and the managers in particular. It's well known there's no love lost between Don Revie and Brian Clough.
What's up, Uncle Sam? A bit low stairs for you here, isn't it? Taking the wrong turn somewhere?
By the dressing rooms.
Just in the team sheet. Hinton, O'Hare, Todd, Mackay, that's our strongest side.
Well, of course it's our strongest side. It's Leeds United.
Would you prefer I send out the apprentices?
Juventus midweek, semi-final of the European Cup. Biggest night in the club's history. Couldn't you feel...
What?
No.
A weaker side? Am I hearing, like, is the chairman of this football club seriously asking his manager to loop?
You know what I'm saying.
Against their biggest rivals?
The chairman of this football club is asking his manager to be pragmatic and manage his resources, prioritise. We've just embarked on a huge programme of refurbishment, improvement, new stand, better floodlights. We need a good run in Europe to pay for it.
Brian nods sagely, then leans close.
I'm going to pretend I didn't hear a word of this.
Brian walks towards the players' tunnel.
Still got an hour before kick-off. I'd reconsider if I were you. I wouldn't want my employer to be unhappy.
My employer?
Chairman of Derby County, chairman long before you ever showed up.
Oh, that's right. You were chairman of Derby County before I came here. I remember that, when Derby County were at the fucking foot of the second division. Nobody had heard of them for 20 years. Nobody had heard of Sam Bloody Longson ever. Full stop. And that's where you'd still fucking be if it wasn't for me. At the foot of the bloody second division, nobody remembered you and nobody had heard of you. There would be no Derby County without me. No league title, no Champions of England, not without Brian Clough.
He jabs his finger.
I'm going to give you some good advice, Brian Clough. No matter how good you think you are, how clever, how many fancy new friends you make on the telly, the reality of football in life is this. The chairman is the boss, then comes the directors, then the secretary, then the fans, then the players, and then finally, last of all, bottom of the heap, the lowest of the low, comes the one who in the end we can all do without, the fucking manager.
Peter's standing by, frowning. They watch Longson march off.
What are you doing, Brian?
On a dark, rain-sodden pitch, Bremner, in a yellow Leeds shirt, scythes down a Derby player. Brian points at his player, stretch it off. Leeds players foul and headbutt their Derby counterparts. Brian bellows at Don.
You see what you're like to do it? You don't deserve to be on the same pitch as my lad!
Bremner strolls up to Brian and shakes his hand on the touchline.
Good luck in Europe.
Bremner smirks.
Yeah, good luck in Europe.
Brian and Peter are dazed in the rain as the Leeds players trudge off, gesticulating at the Derby crowd. Longson stalks angrily down the corridor, past the away dressing room, to stand beside a hangdog Brian surveying his battered team.
You bloody fool.
Longson glares at Brian, then turns on his heel, leaving a rueful Brian to meet Peter's concerned look. Brian addresses the press assembled in the tunnel of Juve's Comunale Stadium. Juventus 3, Derby 1.
Are you disappointed, Mr. Clough?
Disappointed, not a bit. My players were heroic out there tonight. Effectively, we were playing the Italian champions with a reserve team. That many of my first team are injured thanks to the brutality of Leeds United. It's what happens when you have a chairman who authorises a multi-million pound refurbishment of the director's box and hospitality suites before he pays for a proper squad. Suppose it depends on what your priorities are, players or prawn sandwiches. I know which I'd prefer. I know which honest, working-class Derby supporters would prefer too.
Brian jabs his finger at a camera. Night, nurses wheel a gurney from an ambulance. Brian sits by Peter's hospital bedside.
Heart attack, eh? Been having it for 3 weeks, they reckon, one way or another. I ran all sorts of tests on me. I told them the only thing they need to know was that I share my professional life with Brian Clough. Seemed to satisfy them.
Brian smiles and looks away.
I'm only half joking, you know.
Their eyes meet and hold a loaded look for a moment before each drops his gaze.
Still got jobs?
We have. Longson's tried to put a gagging order on me, Michael. Any further utterances in public or media appearances by Brian Clough will be met with instant dismissal.
But we take notice and act accordingly.
Would you like to hear my contrite reply?
Go on, then.
I've written a letter to the board. You and I feel it is impossible to continue our good work with Derby County. We therefore wish to tender our resignations with immediate effect.
What?
What do you think?
I don't want to resign.
Don't worry, they won't let us. We've just won them the championship. But it'll strengthen our position and force them to get rid of Longson.
Anderson.
Oh, no. No, Brian, they'll never do that. He's chairman.
Look, I can't do it, Pete. I can't work with me hands tied. A chairman telling me what I can or can't do.
Picking the wrong enemy, Brian. The enemy's not Longson. It's Revy. This session with Leeds.
Don't be daft. We won the league, Pete. We're top dogs in Derby now, and Longson can't stand it. That's the problem.
No, it's not. It's you. It's mad ambition. Comes and it goes. Sometimes it's good. Oh, yes. Like a fire that stirs everything up. And there's this thing that takes over. It destroys everything that's good in your life. Please, Brian, please tell me that this letter is just a draft. If not, send it. I'll be out in a couple of days. Let me talk to them.
Brian storms into the Derby board meeting.
What are you doing? You weren't supposed to accept our resignations.
Couldn't bloody well offer them then, could you?
But you can't get rid of us. It'd be a disaster for the club. For the whole of Derby.
Can't keep shooting your mouth off the way you have been and issuing these ultimatums. With great reluctance, your resignations have been accepted.
Look, you can't do this.
It's madness.
The decision stands. Our keys on the table and out.
We're going to create a footballing dynasty here. Derby could be one of the greats. Alongside United, Liverpool, Leeds!
Now! Don't dare show your face here again.
Longson stares at the table as he smokes a cigar, while the other directors look away from Brian's plaintive looks. Shaking his head in disbelief, Brian wanders down to Longson, then hurls his tracksuit top on the table.
We've just heard that the controversial former manager of First Division Derby County, Brian Clough, has been sacked, along with his assistant, Peter Taylor.
The drama at Derby started in the streets outside the ground just before the kick-off. About an hour, three-quarters of an hour before the match.
And there in the stand is Brian Clough. And listen to the crowd. The chairman there answering the catcalls of the Derby crowd.
A big mouth, but he's a good manager. We don't want to lose him, and we've bloody lost him.
He matched off a bit sometime, but he's brilliant. He's brought this
team
up.
To touch him.
Oh, I think it's terrible. You think the club will come to an end, I think.
Good evening. Derby County players have officially now joined the protest against the sacking of manager Brian Clough.
To bed, you
the players' plotting has been done in blackout as the power cuts put in force by Prime Minister Edward Heath continue.
Quiet! The directors of Derby County Football Club, we the undersigned players, are unanimous in our support and respect for Mr. Clough and Mr. Taylor, and ask that they be reinstated as manager and assistant manager with the club.
Yes!
Signed by John O'Hare, Roy McFarland, Colin Todd, Kevin Hector, Alan Hinton.
But not Dave Mackay.
Everyone gathered in the candlelit room turns to look at Peter.
He's just accepted the job.
What? Dave Mackay?
In the evening paper.
I signed that fat fuck. Saved his professional life, gave him 2 years as a player. Dave Mackay. He wouldn't fucking dare.
Peter holds up a newspaper with the front page headline, Mackay to be Derby manager.
What have you done, Brian? Love this place. I'm happy here. So are you.
Brian crosses the room to Peter.
It's not over yet, Pete. Lawyers are issuing a writ tomorrow against Longson. The players have called a meeting. There's talk of them coming out on strike. There's protest marches arranged for this weekend.
Madam, you keep your mouth shut. We're never going to find another place like this again.
Brian, Mike Bamber on the phone.
Who's Mike Bamber?
No.
Chairman of Brighton and Hove Albion.
1974. Under Brian Clough, Leeds have now played two and lost two. Brian stands beside three grinning young men before the assembled press below the Leeds United sign in front of the stadium.
Big smiles, lads. The Johns are back in town. Hey, I've known this one since he was 16. This one just plays like he's 16.
Are you going to buy any more?
And this one, Duncan McKenzie, take your hands out your pockets, son. Remember that name? 28 goals last season. How many are you going to get this year?
Just more than 28, really.
Yeah. That's why I got you. Not for your quick wits, for your quick boobs. I think I scored 28 goals in one game once. But they're going to do the job. Be the saviours of Leeds United this lot.
Giles, Bremner and Hunter watch from the training ground. Now Brian passes them in the tunnel.
Lads.
What's your bed in for? A little poof and a pair of reserves. Waste of bloody money.
Duncan McKenzie scored 28 goals last season. John O'Hare and John McGovern are both internationals.
We've got two strikers, Anna Clark and Mick Jones. They're internationals too.
Yeah, and one's injured and the other's suspended.
Maybe if you spent a bit more time on a training ground, you wouldn't have to waste money buying Derby rejects. I mean, we have a game on Saturday against QPR. But have you forgotten?
I haven't forgotten.
Well, you haven't told us a single thing about how QPR are going to play. Mr. Revy would have had files and dossiers prepared. Had the reserves playing the Rangers way all week. Had the first team looking out for this and that.
Bollocks to Don Revy!
Brian stands with his back to the pitch in the players' tunnel.
You're professional footballers. Stop Stan Bowles. That's all you need to know about QPR. I don't have to justify myself to you. Not how or when I conduct training. Not who I buy or pick to play.
No. No, not to us. But come Saturday afternoon, there'll be 40,000 people out there. Well, you do have to justify yourself, though.
Brian smiles bitterly as Giles points past him towards the empty stadium at the end of the tunnel. Brian's smile wilts as Giles turns and saunters off with the other players, who pat him on the back as they go. Alone, Brian turns slowly and makes his way up towards the pitch, gazing at the empty stands. Leeds 0, QPR 1.
You must be loving this. Loving every minute. Watching it all fall apart. It's Brian Clough.
What?
They won't play for me. Your boys. Your bastard sons. Never will.
You're drunk, man.
It's 2 o'clock in the morning. Why are you ringing here?
They're loyal to you. Thought you might like to know that. Loyal to Big Daddy Don.
For God's sake, go to sleep, man. Where's your dignity? Don't ring here again.
Alone in his stark hotel room, Brian lies on his bed smoking and drinking, staring at the little girl playing noughts and crosses with a toy clown on the television test card. 1973. From Leeds topping the First Division, the teams scroll down the leagues to Brighton and Hove Albion in the bottom half of Division 3. Brighton. A woman rides a tricycle past beach huts on the seafront promenade. Gulls flock across the beach by the pier. An elderly couple eat fish and chips. More middle-aged folks snooze in deck chairs in the hazy sunshine as Brian pulls up with Peter in his Ford Zodiac on the seafront. They stroll along the seafront, passing a woman hobbling with a Zimmer frame.
I don't like to be beside the seaside.
Hey, give it a chance.
Brighton and Hove Albion. Have you seen where they are? Bottom of the third division.
Yeah, we didn't get them out of there like that. We did it with Hartlepool, we did it with Derby.
We cared about Hartlepool and Derby. We're from the North Peak. What do we care about Brighton? Bloody southerners. Look where we are. We're almost in France.
Hey, I've got money this lot and ambition. You get along for all that air, eh? Good for me else.
You can't manage a team that's not your own people. Not what you know. Anyway, the protest movement in Derby is still in full flow. We can still get our jobs back.
No, we won't. It's over, Brian. It's over, mate. They're never going to take us back. Not now.
Brian's eyes drift away as he frowns.
Come on.
Peter points over the street to a hotel. In the bar...
Sign today. And I'll give you a bonus of $7,000 each.
$7,000.
You hear that, Brian? Plus a salary that exceeds by 20% what Derby were paying.
Very generous, Mike. Terrific.
Those are First Division wages.
First Division is where I want this club to be.
You sure you can afford it?
I'm sure you're worth it.
Cheeky sod.
The Brighton chairman extends his hand to shake.
We're going to need a holiday first.
Take as long as you like.
2 weeks. We're hot on you.
I'll even throw in the bloody trunks.
Brian smiles wryly with his arms folded. He leans forward and shakes the chairman's hand. A crowded tourist beach by a Majorcan hotel. Bare-chested, Brian plays football with his kids. Peter cavorts around with them in the impromptu game as fat holidaymakers laze on loungers. Brian kisses Peter's cheek playfully. A man smears sun cream over his obese folds as Brian holds his arms aloft to celebrate scoring. Barbara frolics in the surf with Peter and the kids as Brian lies on the sand reading the sun. Wearing aviator shades, Brian nods, smiling as they beckon him to join them. His face becomes sober as he turns over to the back page of the paper to see the sport headline, England expects Revy's yes. Don Revie is on the brink of becoming the new England manager after 11th-hour talks with the FA. By the hotel, a waiter points Brian out to a man in a Panama hat and blazer. The middle-aged man wanders down the sandy beach carrying a briefcase towards Brian, who's now lying on his back in the sun. The man in the blazer dabs sweat from his face as he stands over Brian.
You're a hard man to find, Mr. Clough.
Who's looking?
Keith Archer, secretary of Leeds United Football Club.
Still wearing his shades and an intrigued expression, Brian raises himself up onto his elbows, looking up at Archer.
I was sent by my chairman, Mr. Cousins. He wants me to speak to you face to face.
Bloody hell. But we hate Leeds.
It's the top flight, Pete. It's the first division.
But we gave Brighton our word. And they paid us the money.
We can give back the money. Bollocks to bloody Brighton. I'd go mad. We'd all go mad down there.
Mike Bamber's a good man.
Oh, do me a favour.
Look, he had faith in us, Brian. He offered us a job when no one else would.
Yeah, he offered us a job. Now, someone else has offered us a better one. And not just anyone, the best team in the country. Come on, Pete. You know what that means? It'll be the Charity Shield at Wembley in a month's time. No, European Cup after.
Yeah, but even if we won them, it'd be Revy's achievements. His team. No, I gave Brighton the word, Brian. I can't do it.
And you sooner fester down there with all those bloody Tories and that Blue Rinse retirement home by the sea.
Yes, Brighton's a small club, I'll give you that.
Bloody midget!
Yes, but at least we'll be together, you and me, Brian. We can build them up, make them our own, like we did with Hartlepool's, like we did with Derby.
And then what? Bottle again as soon as it comes to the big time. That's always been the trouble with you, Pete. No ambition.
That's the trouble with you, Brian. Too much ambition. Too much greed, too much everything!
Yeah, you knock it, but it's done you proud over the years, hasn't it, my ambition? Without me, you'd still be in Burton bloody Albion!
Yes, and without you, I still have a job in Derby! A job and a home that I love!
Oh, yes, you're the shop window. I grant you that. The razzle and the bloody dazzle. But I'm the goods in the back!
And without me, without somebody to save it from yourself, Brian fucking Clough, you're not just half! You're nothing!
I'm nothing! I'm nothing. Don't make me laugh. What does that make you then, Taylor? Something. You're half of nothing. Nothing's parasite. A big fat pilot fish that feeds on nothing. A bloody nobody. A forgotten man. History's fucking afterthought.
Peter marches off along the jetty away from Brian, leaving him pacing furiously, hands on hips, then on his head in despair. 1974. Under Brian Clough, Leeds United have made the worst start in 20 years. A home game.
We have a booze here at Elland Road for manager Brian Clough, which I'm sure won't worry him. But there are also boos for John McGovern. Never a nice thing to see a crowd getting at a player. And I'm sure that will worry Brian Clough. It takes time to settle into a new club, and it's not McGovern's fault that Billy Bremner is missing.
A Luton Town player in orange strip weaves through the lead-footed Leeds midfield. Bremner sulks beside Clough on the bench, while behind them, Don makes his way to a seat with the directors. Brian turns to see banners. Enough with Clough and Revy rules. Don eyes Brian gloatingly. A Luton striker scores. The Leeds fans jeer as Brian escorts his team down the tunnel. Leeds 0, Luton 1. Brian finds Cousins waiting as the Leeds players trudge into their dressing room.
Look, players' lounge, Brian. 10 minutes.
Cousins leaves Brian with his hands on his hips. Brian makes to follow Bremner into the dressing room, but has the door slammed in his face. The players, now showered and in their fashionable clothes, join the directors in the long, narrow lounge. Brian traipses in last to face Cousins.
Close the door.
A player obliges.
This is the worst start to a season Leeds has had in 20 years. 4 points from 5 games. Second from fucking bottom.
Cousins eyeballs Brian, then turns to the players.
What's going? As far as I can see, there's no relationship, there's no understanding between players and management. Well, not a healthy one anyway.
Perhaps if Mr. Clough was to step outside, we might be able to speak our minds.
Brian wrinkles his nose with distaste as Bremner, sat beside Giles, winks at him.
All right, you wouldn't mind, Brian. Just for a few minutes.
Brian nods and swallows hard.
As you wish.
Brian's new young signings look troubled as their manager steps into the corridor.
Nobody likes him. Like, the atmosphere in the dressing room's non-existent.
He's barred us from doing all the things we used to do. Like playing bingo, curtain balls.
Practically, he's never prepared. Like, he doesn't even tell us how he wants us to play. We're not even allowed to mention Mr. Reeves' name.
What me and the lads are trying to see, Mr. Cousins, is compared to Mr. Avey, he's just not good enough.
What's going on, boss?
Jimmy finds Brian outside the door.
The last two words of every story ever written is what's going on.
At the fucking end.
Manny Cousins in the boardroom.
Let's be honest, Brian. It's not working, is it? The players aren't happy. We're not happy.
In truth, we should probably never have hired you without Peter Taylor.
Brian smarts, straightens his jacket and glances around the board members.
So, what do you want to do about it?
It's not working.
Cousins glances at the other directors.
We have to part company.
Fine, it'll cost you 25 grand.
For 6 weeks' work?
Plus 3.5 grand for Jimmy Gordon. And an agreement that Leeds United will pay both our income taxes for the next 3 years.
That is bloody criminal.
And you can throw in the merc and all.
What?
Might be a bit flash for a man out of a job, but the truth is I've grown to like it.
Who do you bloody think you are?
Brian Clough. Brian Howard Clough.
Brian leads Nigel down the corridor.
Come on. Something we have to do on the way.
They pass Don's photo.
Won't take long.
Brian's in makeup for Yorkshire TV. The presenter knocks on the door.
Thanks for agreeing to this.
No problem. Go easy on me, though. That's a good lad.
Brian winks and smiles wistfully. Now in the studio, the floor manager leads Brian to his seat before the cameras.
How are you feeling, Mr. Clough?
Not bad. Not bad. Onwards and upwards. All that type of thing.
Brian notices two other chairs.
What's this? Are you expecting guests?
Brian sits as the tall, handsome presenter leads a bullish Don through the dark studio into the lights of the set.
Bastard.
Don sits in the chair to Brian's left, the presenter to Brian's right.
Stand by, studio!
Brian shoots a scathing look at the presenter. Don smooths out his tie.
Title's outing. 5, 4, 3...
Floor manager points at the presenter.
Good evening. Tonight, the football world was stunned by the news that Brian Clough has been sacked as manager of Leeds United. We'll be talking not just to Brian Clough, but also to the man he replaced, whose success he couldn't emulate, Don Revy. Brian Clough, first of all, what's your reaction to being sacked in this fashion?
Well, obviously, Austin, initial reaction is one of shock at finding myself here with him. But in answer to your question, 6 weeks is hardly a long time to be given a chance in any job. I would hope that Revy would get a lot longer time in his.
Do you consider it was possible to step into your shoes, Don Revy, to replace you?
Being very, very honest, I think it was a very difficult job for anyone to do. But I do feel that Brian Clough, now I'll not call him Clough, because I'll not take him down like that.
Okay.
I do believe that he made it more difficult to himself than he need have.
How did I do that, Don?
Well, all those accusations about how dirty my players were about...
Well, they were dirty.
That's not true. Last two seasons, we were top of the charts for entertaining football.
And before that, you also topped all the disciplinary charts. You should have been docked points and sent down to the second division.
Listening to you, I'm struck that this is not just a business matter, you both. It's more than that. Personal, am I right?
Well, we're very different people, Don and I. We have different styles in football and in life. I'm a warm man, an idealist. I do believe in fairies, and that's my outlook. Don is slightly different. There's a hardness to him. He's a cold person.
No, you don't know
and
me.
And that lack of warmth, that coldness, was there. It permeated the club when I arrived.
I totally refute that. You ask any of my players. I was like a father to them in that club every morning, massaging those boys. Did you do that for them?
They would never have let me.
Did you try? You didn't even try. I soaked those boys down with my own hands. You just went to Leeds with no thought for the club, no thought for the players, just on some mad personal vendetta against me.
Well, are you surprised? What else was I going to do after what you did?
What did I do?
Come on, Don, you know exactly. January 27th, 1968. See, I even remember the date. You came to Derby County, third round of the FA Cup, and you refused to shake my hand.
Never. No, matter of principle, I always shake the other manager's hand.
No, you shook Peter Taylor's hand and me trainer, Jimmy Gordon.
I probably didn't see you.
No, you saw me, Don. Considered me beneath you. Looked down on me and dismissed me just like you did every other club and every other manager in the country.
Never would I knowingly refuse to shake a colleague's hand. No. The truth is, you were down in the second division at the time. Hmm? I probably didn't know who you were.
Brian's grin sticks.
Didn't know how Julio.
That's the truth.
Yeah, well, you certainly know now.
Oh, we all know now. We know you as the man whose constant outbursts and defaming of his fellow professionals has brought this game, this beautiful game, into disrepute. We had a very good job at Derby and managed to get the sack. We had the best partner in the game in Peter Taylor and threw him away. He was given one of the greatest gifts in British football, Leeds United, a club that in 10 years hadn't finished outside the top four and took them to the bottom of the first division. Well, yes, it's fair to say we all know who you are now.
OK, gentlemen, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there.
Well, let's see where we are in a year's time, Donald Revy.
Oh, dear, oh.
Let's see where we both are in five.
Well, that's it for tonight's show. I'd like to thank both my guests, Brian Clough and Don Revy, the England manager, for joining me.
Thank you, Austin.
Brian fades to silhouette as the lights dim.
And we're out. Thank you, gentlemen.
Brian nods bitterly as Don and the presenter rise from their seats and stroll away across the studio floor. Still sat in his chair, brooding introspectively, Brian glances over at the TV crew, who wander out of the cavernous studio as the lights go out. Brian sits in the darkness on set, the switched-off cameras pointing away from him. Day. Brian drives past Elland Road in his blue Merc with Nigel and Simon in the back. The lads read comics and annuals as Brian broods at the wheel.
Boys, do you think your old man is a fool?
No.
You're wrong. Bloody is.
He looks in the mirror at them.
Who is the least mature person in this car? Who most needs to bloody grow up?
The boys swap wide-eyed looks on the back seat.
Must be making a right arse of himself in the past few months.
Brian smiles as the boys stifle giggles.
Who fancies a trip to the seaside? See Uncle Pete.
Me!
Yeah, me too.
The boys huddle close behind Brian excitedly as the Merc passes a sign. M1, the South. Northampton 54, London 106. Chalk cliffs of the south coast. Gulls wheel over the Brighton promenade in the sunshine. Brian stops the car outside a large red brick house. Peter's wandering among the shrubs and plants in his front garden. He looks over at Brian in his car, then stoops over a flower bed.
Just wait in the car for a minute, lads. Just gonna chat with Uncle Pete.
His eyes fixed on Peter, Brian gets out, wearing a heavy frown. Still bent over the flowerbed, Peter glances over at Brian, then carries on weeding. Brian puts his hands in his pockets as he strolls up the drive.
They've chucked you out already, have they? They have. How long was that? 44 days.
Peter shoots Brian a withering look.
Impressive.
Peter looks down at his plants, then steps back with his hands on his hips, admiring them. Eventually, he turns to Brian with disdain.
What are you doing here?
Don't make this difficult for me, Pete. You know why I'm here. I won't bloody grovel. All right, I'm groveling.
Peter turns back around.
I'm on my knees.
Peter takes a step closer to kneeling Brian, scrutinising him.
I apologise unreservedly for being a twat.
Peter points at Brian. The boys exchange puzzled looks in the car.
Apologise for being a twat.
Unreservedly.
Unreservedly.
Because I can't do it without you.
Because I can't do it without you.
I'm nothing without you.
I'm nothing without you.
Peter walks closer and stops.
Please, baby, take me back.
Fuck off.
All right. Bye.
Please.
Peter strolls towards his house, then turns back.
Baby, take me back.
Brian fixes Peter with a sincere, imploring look. Peter looks at Brian, then hangs his head and shakes it. He rubs the fingers of his clenched fists together, then raises his open hands out towards Brian. Brian stands and walks towards his old friend. Brian throws his arms around Peter and hugs him close. Peter screws his eyes up and returns the embrace, then scowls.
You're only gonna fuck me up again, aren't you?
I love you, you know.
I know, but it won't stop you.
So would you sooner go through it all without me?
Brian is wide-eyed as he speaks into Peter's ear. Peter blinks slowly and shakes his head.
Never.
A tender smile spreads across Brian's face. He tightens his embrace and closes his eyes. They step back and look at each other. Peter thumps Brian's shoulder playfully. Peter nods over Brian's shoulder towards the boys in the car. Brian beckons to them. Peter?
Hey! Come here, you two! Come here!
The boys scamper to Peter.
Come here!
Brian smiles as his sons hug Peter.
Hey!
Peter grins at Brian.
Want to see your Auntie Lily? Go on, then.
What do you want to drink, will you?
Well, I wouldn't say no.
You've got a drop of cooking sherry, you can.
Peter and Brian wander into the house. Grainy colour footage of Don on the training field in a tracksuit. Caption, Don Revy failed as England manager. He went to the United Arab Emirates, where his career ended among allegations of financial misdealings, leaving him in soccer wilderness. Brian Clough and Peter Taylor were reunited. Actual interview footage.
We've got several things in common, but the main thing we've got in common is we want the same things.
Fine, we do let him speak from time to time. I'll put a question to him. You find it difficult, Peter, to get a word in edgeways. He's quite a good talk, isn't he, this boy?
Yeah, in public, yes.
Brian smirks coyly. Match footage of goals. Caption, they took over a small provincial club, Nottingham Forest, going on to win the European Cup in 1979. Peter lifts the huge silver trophy. The team paraded before crowds on an open-topped bus. And again in 1980. A feat that has not been matched by a British manager since. A smiling Brian waves as he gets onto a plane. Peter smokes a cigar beside Brian as they sit in the dugout. Caption, Brian Clough remains the greatest manager the England team never had. ITFC audio description by Toby Mace. Directed by Tom Hooper. Screenplay by Peter Morgan. Based on the novel by David Peace. Produced by Andy Harries. Executive producers Christine Langan, Hugo Heppel, Peter Morgan. Co-producers Grainer Marmion, Lee Morris. Michael Sheen. The Damned United. Timothy Spall. Cole Meaney. Henry Goodman. Maurice Reeves and Jim Broadbent. Stephen Graham, Brian McCarty, Peter MacDonald, Giles Alderson, Mark Baisley, Martin Compston, Joe Dempsey, Director of Photography Ben Smithard, Production Designer Eve Stewart, Editor Melanie Oliver, Music by Rob Lane, Costume Designer Mike O'Neill, Hair and Makeup Designer Jan Archibald, Casting by Dan Hubbard. Cast in order of appearance: Don Revy, Cole Meaney, Manny Cousins, Henry Goodman, Sam Bolton, David Roper, Keith Archer, Jimmy Reddington, Nigel Clough, Oliver Stokes, Simon Clough, Ryan Day, Brian Clough, Michael Sheen, Austin Mitchell, Mark Baisley, Peter Taylor, Timothy Spall, Jimmy Gordon, Maurice Reeves, Billy Bremner, Stephen Graham, Donny Giles, Peter MacDonald, Norman Hunter, Mark Cameron, younger Nigel Clough, Frank Skillin, younger Simon Clough, Dylan Van Hoot, younger Elizabeth Clough, Sydney Wade, Barbara Clough, Elizabeth Carling, Sam Longson, Jim Broadbent, Groundsman, Mark Jameson, Les Cocker, Liam Thomas, Sid Owen, Glenn Cunningham, as himself, Tony Guber, Lillian Taylor, Gillian Waugh, Dave Mackay, Brian McCarty, John O'Hare, Martin Compston, John McGovern, Colin Harris, Colin Todd, Giles Alderson, Archie Gurnmill, Stuart Robertson, Terry Hennessy, Laurie Ray. As himself, Sir Michael Parkinson, journalist, Ralph Ineson, Wembley commentator, Philip Childs, FA committee chairman, Terence Harvey, FA white-haired elder, Gordon Hall, as himself, John Craven, Elizabeth Clough, Isabella Eads-Jones, Duncan McKenzie, Joe Dempsey, Mike Bamber, Paul Brown, floor manager, Christopher Chilton. Developed by BBC Films, supported by the Screen Yorkshire Fund. Filmed with Panavision, Dolby Digital, originated on Fujifilm. While this story is inspired by actual events, certain characters, incidents, locations and dialogue were fictionalized and or invented for purposes of dramatization. As respects such characters, incidents, locations and dialogue, any similarities to the name, character or history of any persons, living or dead, or any product or entity or actual incident is entirely coincidental and unintentional and should not be understood to be historically accurate. This motion picture photoplay is protected pursuant to provisions of the laws of the United States of America and other countries. Any unauthorized duplication and/or distribution of this photoplay may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Released by Columbia Pictures, a Sony Entertainment Company. Thank you.